I want to read from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Here we find Mary praising the Lord. Maybe we can read from verse 46 onwards. Luke 1:46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts." It is a prophetic word that Mary said. "And he has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." God continues to do this down through the generations. He scatters the proud. He puts down the mighty from their seats and exalts them of low degree. And one more thing the Lord does. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. That's what I want to share with you this morning, brothers and sisters. This word that Mary spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. That's the law of God. Whenever we are hungry and thirsty and needy, the Lord fills us with good things. And when we are satisfied and think we don't need anything more from the Lord, he sends us empty. Oh, may God give us grace to remain always hungry and thirsty and needy till the Lord comes. And I want to turn to another verse in Psalm 63. Verse 1. Here we can see David was a man who had especially in his youth, he had a hunger and thirst for God. He said, "Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." What a hunger and thirst David had, brothers and sisters. What a challenge for all the young people. To have a thirst for the Lord in your youth. And David could say, "Thus will I bless thee," verse 4. "I lift up my hands in name. My soul shall be satisfied," he says, "with the riches of foods. My mouth shall praise you with the joyful lips." You know, when the Lord fills you and satisfies you, praise will spring forth from your heart. And again, Psalm 42. We sang this morning, verse 1 and 2, "As the heart pants after the water, brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God." My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And in the Old Testament, this psalmist has such a hunger and thirst for the living God. And again we see verse 4. Psalm 43 verse 4 says, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy." Oh, for the psalmist, God was great delight. One more verse in Psalm 143 verse 6. Yeah, David saying, "I stretch forth my hands unto you, my soul thirsts after you. As a thirsty land." Oh, may God give us, brothers and sisters, this morning a deep hunger and thirst so that we can say, "My soul thirsts for thee." And I want to show you some examples of those who hunger and thirsted for God. And number one, we can look at the people who hunger and thirsted for God's word. You see in Acts chapter 8, here was a man. He was not even a Christian. Acts 8:27. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, and Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for worship. He traveled all the way to Jerusalem to worship. He had some interest in God. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot to read Isaiah the prophet. That was his spare time. He was traveling and he was reading the scriptures. Oh, this man had such a hunger and thirst for God. A heathen man. And, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to the chariot. And Philip ran and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what you read? And he said, how can I, except some man should instruct me? And he asked Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before a shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare a generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And this man had a question. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom speaks the prophet? This, of himself or some other man? Did we find then Philip opened his mouth and began with the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, I praise the Lord for this man who had such a hunger and thirst. He didn't understand what he was reading, but he invited Philip to come over and teach him God's word. And Philip was in touch with the Holy Spirit, and Philip immediately could understand, hey, this guy is reading from Isaiah 53. Philip knew the scriptures, and immediately Philip responded to the Holy Spirit, and it says here, he preached unto him Jesus from God's word. And this man got wonderfully saved that day. Oh, may God give us grace, brothers and sisters, to have such a hunger and thirst for God's word. Lord, teach me your word. Reveal your word to me. I believe Philip was hungry with good things. This man was hungry for God, hungry for Jesus. And the Lord saw his hunger and met his needs. And I believe God is no respecter of persons, brethren. Wherever he sees anyone hungry and thirsty, he will fill them with good things. This man, nobody had to tell him, brother, come and get baptized. Say, you got saved and baptized at the same time. How wonderful, brothers and sisters, when you meet Jesus. Oh, this man, I believe, says here, he was 39, he got saved, and the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I believe he became a happy man, that the Lord saved him that day, through the power of his word, and the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe he became a glorious disciple. I believe probably the gospel spread through that man to Africa. I want to show you one more example of a sister who was hungry for the Lord. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, she listened to Paul's preaching. It says, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which is spoken of Paul. She came to the meeting with great receptivity, and the Lord opened her heart to understand God's word. It says, when she was baptized, and her household, she besought her, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. He says she constrained them. Oh, she got wonderfully saved that day and baptized. And she opened a home to God's people. What a wonderful sister, this sister Lydia. I praise the Lord for such a wonderful sister. Oh, God could work in her because she was hungry and thirsty and needy, and the Lord satisfied her. I'm sure she became a wonderful sister in the church. And then I want to show you one more example of someone who was hungry and thirsty. Here we find a group of people in Acts chapter 17. You know, Paul was traveling, and Paul was, when he was traveling, always he was looking for those who are hungry and thirsty for the Lord. And Acts 17 verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So coming there, went into the synagogue of Jews. Says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What a wonderful group of brothers and sisters here in Berea. Says they received the word with all readiness of mind. What a wonderful way to come to the meeting, brothers and sisters. Not in a sleepy way, dragging way. Oh, it's Sunday, I've got to go to the meeting. And like some people who come late to the meeting. Oh, far from it. I don't think the Bereans came late to the meeting. The Bereans came, I believe, in time. And they received the word with all readiness of mind. Can it be written about you that you came to the meeting with all readiness of mind, such a hunger and thirst? And not only that, even after listening to Apostle Paul, he says they went and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I believe we need the spirit of Bereans, brothers and sisters. Some of us have taken things for granted, and maybe we lost our hunger and thirst. Maybe this morning the Bereans can challenge us, and maybe say, Lord, give us the same spirit that this Bereans had to receive your word with so much of readiness, eagerness, hunger and thirst. And the Bereans were not lazy people. We can say, if you paraphrase, we can say, Bereans had the concordance. They went home and searched. And they wanted to know whether Paul was speaking of God in God's word. I'm sure the Bereans were wonderful believers. May the Lord help us to be like Bereans, brothers and sisters. May the Lord this morning give us a hunger and thirst for his word. And I want to move on to show you some other people who were hungry and thirst, who had a hunger and thirst to see Jesus. For example, we read in Luke chapter 19. Verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. And verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And there was so much of crowd, he just couldn't get through the crowd. But he had such a desire that he went and climbed on a tree and hid himself there. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. But Jesus was passing that way. Oh, Zacchaeus had such a longing to see Jesus. And Jesus sensed that longing. Oh, and verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. I believe in when the Lord sees you and me having a hunger and thirst for him, he too will call us by name. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. Today you must abide at your house. The Lord was saying, Zacchaeus, I want to have fellowship with you. You've got so much of hunger and thirst. I want to fill you with good things. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You think Zacchaeus backslid again? I don't believe Zacchaeus ever backslid, because he met Jesus. Oh, he had such an encounter with the Lord. His whole life was changed. His attitude to money was changed. His attitude to the world was changed. How come, brothers and sisters, there are some people who have known the Lord today, the Lord is so far away from them? You know what? Probably because you're so far away from the Lord. That's why God is not so interesting for you. Oh, what an example we can get from Zacchaeus. This man who had such a bad reputation. He had a bad past. But he met Jesus. And he found his satisfaction and contentment and joy in Jesus. Oh, may God help us to find our satisfaction and joy and contentment in Jesus. And then I want to show you one more sister. Luke chapter 8. When Jesus was passing by, someone asked him to come to his house and heal his daughter who was sick. And while Jesus was passing by, verse 43, he says, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, just spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Oh, she had such a need in her life. She came behind Jesus. You know, somehow she made her way through the crowd. She was desperate. I don't know how she managed it. Being a woman, she pushed aside all the men and touched Jesus. He says immediately her issue of blood stenched. And Jesus stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Oh, that day she touched Jesus. And she got delivered and healed. And I really believe her life was no longer the same from that day. And Jesus said, who touched me? And then afterwards she says, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared unto him, before all the people, what cause she touched him and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. May the Lord give us such a hunger and thirst, and may we be so desperate to somehow reach out to the Lord so that the Lord can meet our need, so that we can testify to what the Lord has done for us. I want to move on to show you some of the examples of how people received something special from the Lord. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 verse 13. You know, two people, they were walking on the, it says, they were walking to a village called Emmaus, and they talked together. All these things had happened. And verse 15, it came to pass while they talked together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went along with them. Oh, Jesus joined them as they were talking. And verse 18, and one of them was Cleophas, answering to him, are you only a stranger? And he said, into what? And they were speaking about Jesus. And no, verse 25 says, and verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. What a wonderful fellowship they had with Jesus that day. Just walking along the road, and Jesus joined them. And when Jesus joins, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, he's not going to talk about shopping. He's not going to talk about music. He's not going to talk about sports. Maybe some of us are more interested in that than Jesus. That's the reason today, maybe you don't find the Lord or his word so interesting. But these people, they listen to Jesus. Explain the scriptures. And later on it says here, verse 32, their hearts, it says, did not a heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, while he opened to us the scriptures. Is your life boring, brothers and sisters? Maybe it's because you got your mind on the things of the earth. Maybe we need a little more fellowship with Jesus, and you won't find the life boring. And you know how later on Jesus again spoke to them, verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they would understand the scripture. I believe the Lord wants to really reveal his word to us. He wants to give us a revelation of God's word. Are you satisfied this morning, brethren? This is what you heard. Oh, may God create in us such a hunger and thirst. Lord, reveal your word to me more and more, Lord. And when the Lord finds we have such a hunger and thirst, he will reveal his word more and more to us. And then, I want to show you one more person who had such a hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10. Again, this man was a heathen. He was not a Christian. Acts chapter 10. This man was a military officer. He feared God. He revered God, it says. He gave much alms and prayed to God. And the Bible says his prayers were heard. He had such a hunger and thirst for God. And God heard his prayer. God told him to send Peter. And when Peter came and preached, you know, he was so hungry that Peter could not finish his sermon. Even before Peter could finish his sermon, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and praising the Lord. There was such a tremendous revival. And that's what the Lord does for us, brothers. When he sees such a hunger and thirst after him, he will fill us and satisfy us. And, you know, Elisha, we read about in 1 Kings 2, 9. Oh, this man, he had such a longing for the anointing. And he asked Elijah. Elijah asked him, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of the Spirit. And Elijah said, you asked a hard thing. Oh, Elisha, value the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we know how finally he got it. And the Lord sees, if you really value the anointing, he'll give us. Because Jesus said in John 7:38, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, this morning, God, may God give us such a hunger and thirst that we come to Jesus and drink and be satisfied. And there may be an outflow from our life, brothers and sisters. And not only that, you know, in Psalm 84:2, we find the psalmist had a hunger and thirst even for fellowship. That's amazing, even in the Old Testament. Psalm 84, verse 2, my soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. This man loved fellowship. You see, in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23:16. There's a lovely verse here. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. David and Jonathan had a tremendous hunger and thirst for fellowship. You know, these days we say, oh brother, I'm so busy. I don't have time for fellowship. And I believe we miss the Lord. Paul had tremendous regard, value for fellowship. That's why he could spend time with Timothy and have fellowship. You see in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16. Can you see Paul's attitude here? 2 Timothy 1:16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. Paul had a great regard for fellowship, and that's why God sent a man called Onesiphorus, an unknown man. He was not an apostle, probably was an ordinary brother, but he refreshed Paul. And you see one more person, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 6, how another brother refreshed Paul. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Brothers and sisters, I believe many of us, we need to value fellowship. We need to have a hunger and thirst for God. We need to value the Holy Spirit. We need to really have a hunger and thirst for Jesus. More of Jesus. I praise the Lord for the men of God who made Jesus so glorious for me. Oh, that's a wonderful ministry we can have, brothers and sisters. To make Jesus glorious for others. What a wonderful calling. Like we sing the song, more about Jesus, more of His saving grace, more of His love. Oh, may the Jesus become so precious in our eyes, so glorious, so beautiful, so wonderful. And you'll find the things of the earth become strangely dim. And we'll also have fellowship with all those who love Jesus like that. And I believe that is true fellowship. Fellowship is not just drinking coffee and tea together. Fellowship is not just visiting each other's home. I believe there's a deeper fellowship in the Spirit when you love Jesus, when you love God's Word. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know there's a fellowship in the Spirit with those who are like-minded. And that's what the church is all about, brothers and sisters. Those who love fellowship. Those who long to hear more about Jesus. Those who long to hear more about God's Word. For them, life is not boring. The meeting will not be boring. Oh, may God give us grace to come to such a tremendous life in God. And if you have lost that hunger and thirst, we need to examine and say, Lord, why it's like that? Like, you know, some people say, brother, I don't have appetite. I'm not able to eat food. God's given all of us natural appetite for food. How we come home saying, I'm hungry? Especially the young men. Oh, they come home saying, Mom, I'm hungry. Brothers and sisters, have you lost your appetite for God? Have you lost your appetite for the Word of God? Have you lost your hunger and thirst for Jesus? We need to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, please give me a hunger and thirst. Have you lost your hunger and thirst for fellowship? True fellowship in the Spirit. May the Lord help us to come back to the Lord so that we can find our joy and satisfaction and maybe discover how beautiful, how wonderful and how lovely He is. And maybe make others, maybe make Jesus glorious to others. Amen.
There is a wonderful verse as I was sitting there and listening. In Psalm 107, verse 9. Psalm 107, verse 9, it says, in connection with what we heard this morning, it says, for He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. I want to read it again. For He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. We fill a vessel when it is empty or half empty. When it is full, you cannot fill it because it has no more place to hold. So, as we read in Luke 1, Mary said that the hungry He fills and the rich He sends empty away. The rich are those who are already full, who think they are full, and they don't see their need. And to such, the Lord says, sorry, they have to go empty. But those who come to Him, He said, like we already read in John 7:37, He who is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink from his innermost being. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. We read in verse 35 also that it says there in the same chapter, verse 35, He changes wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. It's amazing, it is unheard of in history that reference 35, 107, Psalm, verse 35. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water. That is, a desert God is able to change into a pool of water, and a dry land into springs of water. And if I find today myself dry and I don't have anything in me, and I'm more like a dry desert, and I acknowledge that before the Lord, and then the Lord can work in me and through me. He can fill only the hungry, only the empty vessels. When Elisha was asked by a widow about her creditors, he said, you go, what do you have? She said, I have a little oil in my house. And he said, go and borrow empty vessels from your neighbors and keep pouring into them. And she just did what he said. She borrowed all the empty vessels from her neighbors and kept pouring into them, pouring into them, pouring into them, until there were no empty vessels left, and then the flow stopped. So until we have need, God keeps on filling us. When we feel that we have everything, we are full and we are satisfied, then God says, okay. He stops the flow. The flow stops. So it is God's law that he who comes to him in need shall be blessed and filled. We read in Matthew 5, when Jesus was speaking about the Beatitudes, he said in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Only when I acknowledge my need. There is a verse in Jeremiah. It's a lovely verse. I read it many years back. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13. One line there it says, only acknowledge your iniquity. Only acknowledge your iniquity. In other words, it says, only acknowledge your need for the Lord. When we acknowledge our need, that I'm a needy person, I need to be filled, my vessel is empty. We sing in a song, when my cup runs dry, he fills my cup, or something like that. Yeah. Only when our cup is empty, he fills us. Only when we acknowledge our need, he comes to our rescue. When we don't acknowledge that, then God cannot do anything. And blessed is the man who comes to him in that need, and then he shall be satisfied. And one last verse in Ephesians, it says, when we ask him, he will never send us empty. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God is able to do exceeding abundantly, above and beyond what we think, even beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations. I think in the Living Bible it says like that. Beyond our wildest dreams or imaginations, he is able to do. Because he is the God whose resources never run dry. He is always full. The river of God is always full. And it is for us to draw and take it in. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we were hearing about hungering and thirsting after God and His Word and the Holy Spirit. And what was impressed on my heart is one question. Am I seeking to do my own will or God's will? And I'll tell you why that question in relation to hungering and thirsting. We can look at the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35 to 40. So Jesus said these things after he had fed the 5,000. And there was a large crowd of people that came after him. And, you know, generally we would think that this is a good thing. There's a large crowd of people that's coming after Jesus. Perhaps they're hungering and thirsting after God. That's what it would seem like. But Jesus turned to them and said, you're seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because I fed you. And then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So, brothers and sisters, we need to understand this. Some of us may feel like, what is Jesus saying? Am I not coming to Jesus? We may feel like, I think I'm coming to Jesus, but I'm still hungering and thirsting. How can I really lay hold of this? How can I see for sure, you know, what this means? We may feel like we're coming to Jesus, but we're still hungering and thirsting. Okay? So Jesus told these people in verse 36. First he said, he who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. And then he said, but I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. So he's telling these people, you've seen me, but yet you do not believe. Okay, so let's think about these people. What they had seen, what did they believe? They had seen that Jesus could do miracles for them. They had seen that Jesus could feed them miraculously. That he could heal them, he could meet their needs, he could take care of their problems. And they came. There's a large crowd of people, they came to Jesus. But Jesus said, you've seen me, but you don't really believe. And you aren't really coming to me. Because you can see that. He says, if you come to me, you will not hunger, you will not thirst. So there is, these people had come to Jesus, but he said, you're not really coming to me, and you're not really believing me. And why is that? Why is Jesus saying that? So let's understand. And he explains. Jesus goes on to explain in this paragraph where he, from verses 35 to 40, what it means to come to Jesus. We can see two things that he says. One is in verse 37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Okay, and in verse 38 he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay, so the first thing he says is, all that the Father gives me will come to me. So that means if you've come to Jesus, you've come because you have been given by the Father. Okay, now he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me. When he's saying all that the Father has given me, he's talking about people. He's not talking about things that the Father has given him. Because he says, the one who comes to me after that. So he's talking about people who the Father has given him. And he says, if the Father has given you to me, then you will come to me. So when we come to Jesus, that's how we come to Jesus. Because we are given by the Father. What does that mean? See, when you think of giving one person to another person, there are two things I can think of. One is, you could talk about a slave, a bond slave. Okay, and you can say, okay, I am giving this person to you. That's one sense in which you can give one person to another person. The other sense is, as a bride, we know when my weddings are conducted, the person conducting the wedding, depending on the form of wedding, says, who gives this woman to be married to this man? So we are given to Jesus as bond slaves or as a bride. Both of these are relevant pictures in their own way. And that's what it means to come to Jesus. The other thing he says is that, all those who come to me, and he says, I have come down to heaven, from heaven. So the way I have come down from heaven is the way you should come to me. And he says, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So what does it mean to come to Jesus? I come to Jesus not to do my own will, but to do the will of God. I come as a bond slave coming to my master. I come as a bride coming to her dearly beloved bridegroom. That's what it means to hunger and thirst after God. We can look at the example of Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 28. This is when Jesus was hanging on the cross. He said these words. It says, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order to fulfill the scriptures, said, I am thirsty. So, was Jesus physically thirsty? Very probably he was. Given all that he had been through, he was a man, he had come in a flesh like ours, he was thirsty, physically thirsty. But that's not why he said what he said. He wasn't thinking about the fact that he was thirsty. In order to fulfill the scriptures, he said, I thirst. Because there is a prophetic fulfillment that needed to be fulfilled. And knowing that he had finished everything else in the Word of God, he said, I thirst. That is how Jesus came, and that's how he lived. This is John chapter 19, verse 28. He said, in order to fulfill the scriptures, he said, I am thirsty. So why was he thirsty? He was thirsty to fulfill the scriptures. He was thirsty that the will of God should be done in his life. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7 where it says, behold, I have come. Once again, it's referring to a verse, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. It says, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus said, I have come to do your will. Just as it's written in the book, I've come to do your will. I want to finish everything that's written about me in your will. I'm thirsty that your will should be completely fulfilled in my life. So let's go back to John chapter 6, verse 39, and see how this applies to us. And Jesus explains further and he says, the will of the Father, this is the will of the Father, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who believes the Son, who beholds the Son and believes in him, will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Let me paraphrase this. He's saying that all that he has given me, that is, you know, he's not talking about things, he's talking about people, okay? All those that you have given me, everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That means on the day of resurrection, all these people will stand before you glorious because of my resurrection power. They will partake of the eternal life that I came to give them. They will see me and seek to follow me. And they will also say, Lord, I come to you, I want to do your will. My name is in the book of life. And therefore, everything that's in your will for me, I want to do. And that is his prayer. He's saying that is the will of God. That everything that he has given me, it's not just each person, but all of, that's what he wants. He wants all of me. He wants everything to be fulfilled in my life that is in his will. We know a song that we sing. It says, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of his love divine, every promise in the book is mine. So brothers and sisters, this is what I was asking myself. I know I've come to this church, I've come to God, I've been filled, my needs have been met, I've seen miracles in my life. He has blessed me with good things. But am I really hungering and thirsting for the things he gives me, or am I really hungry and thirsting that his will be done in my life, for him, himself? Am I coming like the crowd of people who came saying, Lord, you fed me, now feed me once again? Or am I saying, yes, this is the Son of God, and it's not my will that should be done anymore, it's your will that should be done. And Jesus is thirsty for me and you, brothers and sisters, because we are members of his body. He's thirsty that he should lose nothing, that he should have all of us, that the scripture should be fulfilled in you and me, because we are his body. Today we are his body, and the scripture should be fulfilled in us. So in this light, if we look at the promise in John 6:37, and this is a verse that we've seen before and thought of before, all that the Father gives me will come to me. The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. And in the Amplified Bible, it says, never, never, never. I will never, never, never cast out. If you come to Jesus like this, saying, Lord, I want to do your will. Not my will, I want to do your will. And, yeah, I don't know how to do this. I messed up in the past, but Lord, maybe I didn't see it. But from now on, I want every chapter, every verse, more, Lord, more. This will bring us to hunger. This will bring us to thirst. Where is Jesus? He fulfilled every promise in the Bible. And he wants us to come like that, saying, I'm coming to you. I want to do your will. And if you come to him like that, it says, he will never cast you out. Never, never, never cast you out. There's a poem by Mother Teresa. It's called I Thirst for You. It's available on the internet. I just want to read the last portion of it, because I felt this was the word that God was speaking to us, speaking to me. It says, whenever you do open the door of your heart, whenever you come close enough, you will hear me say to you again and again, not in mere human words, but in spirit, no matter what you've done, I love you for your own sake. Come to me with your misery and your sins, with your trouble and needs, with all your longing to be loved. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Open to me, for I thirst for you. Let's also say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, just as you thirst for me, I want to fulfill, I want to quench that thirst. I also want to thirst for you. Amen.
Shall you close eyes and pray? Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray, Lord, as a church, give us a living interest, Lord, in your word. We pray you'll quicken your word to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'll give us a longing after you, the kingdom of God, and your righteousness. And Lord, we pray this morning you will give us a thirst, Lord. Yes, Lord, to come to you with a thirst and drink, so that not only we can be satisfied, we can meet the needs of others, Lord. Yes, we ask you, Lord, this morning that you will so fill us with your Spirit and with your Word and with your love, that, Lord, we can meet the needs of others. Lord, that you put us here on this earth with a purpose, Lord. Help us as a church, Lord, to be what you want us to be, Lord, this morning. Yes, Lord, create in us such a hunger and thirst that we can come to you, Lord, and be satisfied. Help everyone here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.